Hey, play that funky music with... Hey, you did it. Let's not spoil it by clapping this time. Let's not even spoil it.
It's Christmassy.
It's with added sleigh bells.
Oh,
with added sleigh bells, which we can't hear at the moment. We're acting. Judith and I are acting
very
up a
badly.
Storm here. Because Daisy is going to add the sleigh bells in post-production. So we're just pretending. Let's do some more pretending. Oh, isn't it lovely? Oh. Isn't it Christmassy? I love that. I love sleigh bells.
That's got us in the mood, hasn't it?
Aren't we in the mood? Are you in the mood?
I'm getting in the mood-ish. And yes, I am. I mean, you know, I tell you what is happening is that all those kind of little things are coming out, aren't they, that you haven't seen since last year, I suppose.
I haven't got mine out yet. I'm not there yet.
Haven't you? Where'd you keep them, actually? Where are they in your house?
Oh, well, there's a box. There's two boxes.
Only two?
Now you've got me thinking, Judith, and I'm starting to panic. Oh, fucking hell, where are the boxes?
Where the bloody hell are they?
Yeah. I think they're underneath. You know, our wardrobes are sort of suspended in the dressing room.
Hadn't really noticed that.
Well, you wouldn't, because I don't like
you. Really, what do you mean they're suspended? You mean there's a gap at the bottom?
Yes, there's a gap at the bottom. So they're suspended off the floor. So under, you know, it's meant to be so that the room is nice and clean and all that kind of thing. But of course you just fill it with crap, don't you?
Of course you do. Couldn't have told you that.
It's just all his shoes underneath and the boxes with the Christmas, two boxes. In fact, three, I think, if you count the ones.
I was going to say, I can't imagine it's just two.
Well, it's not much, Judith. We don't go overboard. We do the tree. We do the tree and I do my windowsill, which I haven't done yet.
And people have been asking about your windowsill.
Well, I'm just going to have to wait.
They've been very, very nice about my advent window.
Well, I'm not
quite a lot of people have said, but where is Jenny's bejewelled frog?
Do you know, if I can't find that fucking frog this year,
well, yeah,
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Don't let us down like that, Jenny. There are people that are opening up their Instagram daily.
I know, I'm having a hot sweat now. Just thinking, oh, God, I bet it's broken. I bet it's... Judith, did you get out our beaded, bejewelled Christmas tree ornaments?
Well, I'd wrapped
that we made
up
last year
at Denman, which took us 2 days. I mean, when I think back...
Just two and a half days. It was a residential beading course at Denman Hall.
It was. When you look back, my God, it did take us a long time. No, I know where they're there. There's two. Are the two? I think I scampered on and did a second one, didn't I?
We did. Don't pretend that you got ahead of me. We both did two. We did a star stroke snowflake bejeweled
That's
number.
Right, which was less difficult. And then
less
the round one.
And
yes.
And then we did a sort of beaded collar for a bauble. Do you remember?
Oh, so we did. Collar, fancy remembering that word, of course was a very, very precise word to use. Yeah, I know that I found the boxes, but I wrapped them up. I was obviously so nervous about them breaking them. They're in masses of bubble wrap. So bloody hell, I hope they're all right. Oh, my God. So, okay, so that's got us in the Christmas mood. Now, I set you a challenge, Jenny, yesterday to play a Christmas sound effect. And I was going to guess what yours is. And I've got one too. Of course I've got one too. So shall I play you my Christmas sound effect?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's you it won't
is it
be
hard?
Difficult.
Is this hard, Judith? Am I going to struggle with this?
You often do, don't you?
Yes.
That's
getting
probably
all
why
tense
I like doing
now.
It. Yes, I can imagine. No, it's not hard at all. Wait.
Okay, you're winding something up.
Yes.
It's a bauble.
Yes, it's a snow bauble. I'm shaking it. It's a snow bauble, and it's got the word Harrods on the front, and it's a really quite tasteless teddy, but I do love a snowball, and it's quite sweet, isn't it?
What do you mean? Is the teddy holder? You've gone teddy fucking mad.
God,
you're
yes,
going
I
to
have
just
to realized
watch this. You is really like, are.
I am going to watch it if you want to carry it.
Describe this better for me. Is it a snow globe with a teddy inside or is it a teddy holding?
Yeah, no, it's a snow globe. It's a snow globe with a teddy inside and it's quite tasteless because it's got Harris over the front. Yes. And I tell you why I brought it out. I brought it because, you know, I like the sound of it, but... It's indicative of that period where the girls had gone off Christmas, but I was still trying to keep it alive. Because I remember being in an airport and buying two of them in a kind of period when I'd got quite a lot of money. And of course, now I can't shut the bloody thing up. So I get them out every year and I put them in the rooms where they stay when they come and stay. Although I don't know whether they'll do that this year.
Judith, and I can still hear it.
I know. So it's it kind of gets me to, which is that, you know, because I'm further along that continuum now, aren't I? Continuum, to get that, the good word, which is that I, you know, I try to keep their sort of Christmases alive rather desperately. Yeah. But it was that sort of era, and I like it.
So the girls would have been about what, 15, something like
that? Probably older than that. Probably older. So they're never attached to them, but I get them out and rather like them and play them. But yes,
I think it's really a very tragic. Very well. I shall now play my.
Now I am nervous because I. Oh,
all right. See all if ears. You can guess what I'm this is. Hold on. See if you can get what this is.
Did you just fart?
Yes. That's my now, Christmas noise, Judy.
Is it culinary? Oh, do you know what? I think I've got an idea.
Yes.
I think I've got this, and people won't believe it.
Go on, what is it?
It's an electric carving knife.
No, Judy, it's a fart.
You fart. No, it's not. Is it not an electric carving knife?
No, it's not. I haven't got an electric carving knife.
Well,
why would I have an electric carving knife?
Might be a dangerous thing for you to have.
Yes, I know. I'm far too bad-tempered. Ooh, my mother had one. And sometimes she'd be carving the chicken, but she would be looking at me. That, Judith, was my Christmas noise. That was the noise.
Well, don't tell me what it is. Yes, I still want to guess.
Well, you've guessed.
Do it again.
It's a fart. I recorded a fart. I recorded a fart, which
you didn't.
Which sums up Christmas, because that's a
your own
fart. Yes, but I didn't go up to strangers on the street. I wasn't auditioning, Judy.
Well, I wasn't going out to people in the park. I want to hear it again now that I know that
I wasn't going out to people in the park. Going, have you just had your Sunday lunch? Because if so, I'd like to fart into this iPhone. Okay, here we go again. There you go.
That is amazing. It sounds like, I tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like, you know, when you blow up a balloon.
Yes, and you let rub it a go. Balloon. Yeah.
It's
an authentic. I felt it coming. I thought this one's brilliant. I had to chop. Judith, you are so gullible. It's just me going. It's just me with my tongue going like that. But anyway, it sounds really good, doesn't it? It sounds like a fart. And I thought,
fart.
No noise sums up Christmas more than farting, especially for those of us who like sprouts. And I'm a big sprout.
I like a lot of sprouts. Oh, I like a lot of red
There's
cabbage.
Never enough. There's never enough.
I agree.
Yes,
I agree.
My sister's quite mean with her veg at Christmas.
Oh.
So, it'll
dear.
Be good this year, where it's just me, Jeff and Phoebe with a great big bowl of sprouts between us. So you are getting in the mode. You're getting into the Christmas mode. I believe yesterday you had a Christmas wreath-making session.
I did. It was actually very, very jolly, although quite hard work, really. Have you ever made a Christmas wreath for the front door?
No, I'd love to be invited to one of these things. But, you know, every year I think, maybe this year someone will invite me to a Christmas wreath-making workshop. And I never get invited. And, and the trouble is, because of living in a ridiculously modern house, there's nothing on the door that we can hang a wreath off.
Oh, you're a bit
stuffed,
aren't you?
You can't knock a nail in.
Oh, dear. Jeff wouldn't. Oh, because it's glass, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, you really wouldn't. Oh, yes.
No, you couldn't.
Oh, you're
you
not
couldn't.
Well placed at all, are you?
No.
So
it's something that frustrates me, but I live with it, Judith. I live with it. How beautiful is your wreath? Tell me about the wreath making.
It's very
workshop.
Beautiful. It was very sweet because basically Pebble's mum. Sorry,
yeah.
Owner.
Yeah.
I think, you know, wanted to embrace me in her wreath making sort of family event. So she sent the kit round and she set some mince pies and some ginger nuts and some non-alcoholic wine, you know, mulled wine.
What's the point in that?
Well, otherwise I think my Brit. Yeah. So we did it together. But it would have been much more fun if we'd done it in the village hall, to be honest, with a load of women. That would have been quite a laugh.
So you did it together, but in separate
yes,
houses?
In our own houses. But yes,
were you on Zoom?
Hell. Oh, yes, of course we were on Zoom. It's a Zoom. Yeah. By the way, did you know that there are masses of people, there's a massive sort of increase in people that are making Christmas wreaths, apparently, this year? I think lots of people have done the course.
It doesn't surprise me. I think there's a Zoom course going around. There's all sorts of things that people are doing online. And walking around, or jogging around my neighbourhood. I have noticed that Christmas decorations are up a lot earlier. and people are going mad.
Yes, apparently they're buying lots of bigger Christmas trees and yeah. Well, I suppose that's, yes, you can understand it, can't you, really?
Yes, which is, that reminds me, we've got another competition because we love our competitions because it means we get emails from you. Oh, God, Judith, that means we need the email address, which is...
olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Okay, olderwiderpod. Without me interrupting.
Okay.
Which I did twice. I just did it again. I'm really enjoying this. God, no, seriously, now.
olderwiderpod@gmail.com, I believe. So what are we going to get the gang to do this week? We need to set them a challenge.
What's our Instagram account then?
Oh shit. Older and wider. I think is it just older and wider? Is it just Daisy? Is it just older and wider?
It's older and wider podcast.
Older and wider podcast. It is extraordinarily worrying that we can't hold those two things in our head.
Isn't it?
Really is.
But anyway, the Gmail account is the most important because that's where you can write to us about any topic you fancy.
What do we want them to do?
Go on, you tell them.
I think we decided, did we not? We want the best Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Photos.
Best or funniest.
Yes. Best or funniest or...
Yeah,
I'm
quite fancy something very bleak, you know, like sort of, there are quite a lot of Christmas cynics out there, but occasionally they just put one golden walnut out or something like that. That makes me laugh. So you can give us Christmas on a big fancy scale with, you know, all your lovely things, because that's lovely to look at. But, you know, if you don't do it on a big scale, but you do it on a tiny scale or you do something unusual, we'd also like to see those. And there is a pinny, Judith. There's a pinny up for grabs for the first prize.
Big
and
time,
there is
isn't it?
A mug.
Big time.
Yeah, there's a mug out for going out for the second
older
prize.
Older and wider ones, we have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Our merch.
Bit of last-minute Christmas shopping. Just get on our merch page, which is older and wider shop or something. God in heaven, why is it? Sometimes there's an and sometimes there isn't. Daisy, what's our shop?
It's
She's catching it off us. I tell you, Judith.
It's olderandwidershop.com.
Olderandwidershop.com. Yeah. I tell you, we'll have her prematurely 60 the year. Right.
How do we cope with life? How do we manage to even remember any passwords or anything? Oh, my God.
Worse than that, Judith. I mean, I wasn't going to talk about this yet because, I mean, we have a sort of written schedule of things we're going to discuss and it's further down in the schedule, but my fucking new iPhone, I tell you. iPhone 12. It's got this face. The old iPhone just had a tummy button. Do you know what I mean by a tummy button?
I'm still on 8, and so mine's still got a tummy button.
Cling on to that tummy button, Judith.
Absolutely. I am. I'm not stupid like you. I'm scampered all up the numbers. Yes.
We made a sudden leap because I think we were about on 8, and then suddenly we've made this massive leap to 12. And it hasn't got the tummy button. Well, Jesus God. For starters, I don't know which way round my phone is because there's no tummy button.
Oh, I bet, of course.
It's got a side button thing that you turn on and off, and then it's all swiping.
But
It's not a thumbprint anymore, it's facial recognition. Well, you know, I did the photo and it measures your head. It does this whole sort of, oh, I'm
Never.
So clever.
Does it really?
Yeah. It's like, you know, the start of a kind of ridiculous television series where all of a sudden there's this, your screen goes black and green and all measurements.
Oh, I know,
you know
what you mean.
And you have to turn your head from side to side.
Like Red Dwarfy sort of thing.
Yeah, that kind of, it's exactly like that. And so, you know, it seemed happy with that. Since then, I reckon it's recognised me about once out of 1,000 times. Honestly, it's as if, especially first thing in the morning, you know, because I've got a great big puffy, sleep-encrusted face with massive creases in it. You know, I hold the phone up to this blur, this puffy blur, and it just kind of goes, what the fuck? No, I'm not going to recognise. So then I have to put the pin number in. Jesus.
Jenny.
I bring back the thumbprint, Judith, I tell you. Anyway, listen, I want to know, we're going back to Christmas now. I want to know about your Advent window and what the other windows in the village look like.
Well, yes, I must say the gang are very, very sweet, aren't they? They really are sweet. I mean, basically, I bunged a few teddies in the window with this Advent window, haven't I? With some hats that I made out of some...
Yeah, a bit of tinsel.
And there's a bit of tinsel thrown in, actually. Quite pleased with Pooh, though. Pooh's got this little silver hat on. So basically,
it's charming, Judith, and I bet the children will absolutely love it. Right,
it's okay.
Have you had children crowding yet on the walk to school?
No.
Okay.
I haven't even had a text or an email from anybody, Jenny, saying, oh, actually, that's not true. I think somebody did say, oh, that's quite jolly, but I think they were just humouring me. No, it's all right. It's okay. But don't forget, I was number 5 and now it's the 7th, isn't it, I think?
It's a long way to go.
Sensible people, you see, like obviously Sue and Liz have gone for the much bigger numbers, so they're only up for a few days and they can see what the competition's like and they can go for it. I know that Liz is talking about a ye olde toy shop, for instance. That's going to kick me out of the bloody competition, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's kind of the same. It's a bit similar. It's using toys.
Yeah, but, you know, I know that's going to be very, very fancy. And
how big's her window as well? Is it a bigger window than yours?
It's a bigger window, Jenny. It's a bigger window. See, at the moment I'm all right because I had a good look round the village actually last night in preparation for this, just to have, gauge what's going on. Yeah. And but this is only a tiny village, you know. And I think what's up at the moment has a whiff, all of it, of kind of, it's been out before. You know, there's the odd bit of kind of tissue-papered stainless glass star. You know, there's stuff like that. And there's
nobody's
quite
gone
ordinary IKEA candles, zhuzhed. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so there's nothing that's made your heart sink and you made you think, oh, shit, I've really sort of made a fool of myself.
Not at the moment, but I think there's a lot of time. But also, the school started up their own, so that was bloody confusing. There's two going on in this tiny village. So somebody's put a load of, you know, 5 gold rings in the hedge, and then there's actually very sweet sort of, again, lattice window where somebody's cut out all these beautiful... Is it Lords Aleap or something? I don't know, different things that put...
From the 12 Days of Christmas. My true love gets sent to me.
Exactly. So
there's a little... 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. That's what you needed in your garden. You needed a pear tree and a great big fucking stuffed partridge in it. That's what you should have done. Anyway,
now you say. Anyway,
yeah, well, so, the other idea, I did have another brilliant idea that woke me up in the middle of the night and made me laugh out loud. I thought, what you should have done, dude, what you should have done... At the 5 o'clock unveiling of your window, you should have just stuffed yourself in the window in a red dressing gown with one tit hanging out. And just done yourself as a sort of really kind of warped Mother Christmas. Drinking heavily in the window.
Yes, wearing an older, wider pinny.
Wearing nothing. No, wearing a red dressing gown with one tit hanging out. As I say, Judith, yeah, absolutely. You could be maybe drinking wine from an older and wider mug. Yeah.
Yes, it. I think so.
That's the installation.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So in terms of Christmas prep, my Christmas cards have arrived because I had one of my artworks done.
Yes,
I had 50 cards made up.
Am I going to get one of these? Yes, am I in the top 50?
Judith. God. I mean, you know,
thank
really.
God.
I mean, if all 50 get used up, I'm going to be giving them the dry cleaner. I haven't got 50 mates. I'm just going to be shoving them through random letterboxes. You know, around about the 30 mark, I start to dry up.
Do you? Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would. Because you know me, I keep it very tight. I keep my circle of friends very tight. But I must admit that recently on walks, I've realised how much my neighbours do mean to me and how much I really enjoy seeing my neighbours out and about.
That's nice, actually. That's a plus of lockdown, isn't it?
Yeah,
You probably see more of them and you probably talk
so
to them
so much
more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And sometimes the walks go on a bit because you're saying hello to this, you know, this household, all that. Mm. Anyway, I'm not, as I say, I have not... got a Christmas tree yet. Have you got the tree up?
We've got it. It's by the back door, waiting to be put up. And, there's always going to be an argument about that, I know. And also we've got the problem of Poppy. I think, because I've got a horrible feeling that Poppy's going to keep bringing it down.
Yeah.
So we've got a smaller one.
Yeah,
yeah, I think she might. She likes dangly things. So, yes, it's sitting, waiting to... But, you know,
Cards, Judith. I've looked at this box of cards and think, oh, fucking hell, I've got to write those.
I'm just at the stage with the cards where I've done the easy ones and then I've got the stragglers. I've got, you know what I mean? I've got the envelopes. That's where I've forgotten somebody's surname. Or, yeah. I know they've moved and I've got to scroll through it. And think, oh, God.
I'm exactly the same. I know that I'll start with the 10 that I can deliver locally just through
easy
letterboxes.
Yep. Low-hanging fruit.
No postcodes required.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have to sort of go through, get out my old file of facts. And then, you know, it's got to a stage where people have moved eight times.
Don't, and you've crossed it all out. Absolutely.
Everything's crossed out and loads of people have divorced and, you know, I don't know where they've disappeared off to.
Died.
And all this. It's all gone, you know.
Yeah. I tell you what I've got to do. I've got a lot of refunds to check they've come through. Oh,
dear.
Tedious.
What for?
Tedious.
Oh, do you mean because you've sent things back?
Yeah, sent things back. And then I sent off for a thing for the dog to try and dry her. And I thought, well, it hasn't arrived. And I was getting these emails from the company saying, please, could you have a look at that? You know, how did we do? How did we measure up? Well, it hasn't fucking arrived. Apparently somebody called Hannah signed for it on the date and they said
well,
it's going
to
have to be illegal.
Well, you haven't got a Hannah in your house.
Indeed.
Do you know
or
what?
Indeed
That's
in the
village. That's quite clever, though. That's quite clever. If they knew vaguely how old you were, the chances of you having a daughter called Hannah are quite high.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's a lot
true.
Of Hannahs of our daughter's generation.
So,
I
yes.
mean, they're either Hannah, Katie or Emily, aren't they? You know.
I think it's interesting because I think with me it was Becky. There were a lot of Beckys.
Oh, really?
Rebecca. Yeah. Josie's, Becky's, and what was the other one? Lucy's.
Oh, there were quite. There was at least one Lucy. No, there was a lot of Katie's. I felt in Phoebe's year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw her yesterday. That was nice.
Oh, lovely. How is she?
Oh, she. Well, you know, she'd had terrible sinusitis, so she'd phoned the doctor and he'd. Said yes, I'm going to give you some antibiotics because even I know I can hear it.
Yeah.
And so she said, "Mum, can you go and get them for me? I'll write you a note." So she wrote me a note, and I printed it off, and I went off to the pharmacy to get her antibiotics. And I thought before I went, Judith, I thought, "Well, I'll make her some soup." I'll make her some...
My poorly daughter. My poorly little girl.
Vegetable soup. And I can leave it on the doorstep along with the antibiotics.
Nice.
And that's
idea.
A really lovely mummy thing to do.
Absolutely.
Not like me.
No.
So I got all, you know, did all the bloody veg and did all that. And then I blended it up. And then I realised that my blender is very old. I don't know where I got it from because I can't imagine ever buying one. But it has this sort of funny little nipple thing in the middle of the lid, like a little plastic teat thing.
Ooh, and I've funny hard to visualise that, but yes,
well,
go on.
Just imagine a small sort of round teat thing in the middle of this lid. Anyway,
right, you're just saying the same thing again.
Yes.
But yes, okay. No, I think I've got it. Yeah.
I'll say it again until you say, yeah, I've got it. Okay, so it's a bit, anyway, in the middle of the blender lid.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah.
And I was blending. I suddenly thought, it's not there. The middle of the lid isn't there. It's just,
oh, no,
and because I didn't have, I was blending it in two small black batches. It wasn't coming through. It was fine. So I just continued blending in small batches. And I thought, well, where's the fucking middle of the lid gone? Where is it? And I was looking in the cupboards and I started to blame the cleaner. I blamed Jeff first. And then when he said, oh, well, it was
did.
In the cupboard. Like, blame Jeff, then blame the cleaner. Anybody, you know, I was blaming Poppy and I haven't even met Poppy, bloody dog. And then, so I put this soup in a Tupperware for Phoebe and I took it round and everything. And then I drove back. It's only about 25 minutes from hers. And I was just getting indoors and I take my coat off and think, oh, I'm going to have the rest of that delicious soup.
Yeah.
And my mobile phone went and it was Phoebe. Don't eat the soup!
Oh, my God, Jenny.
Well, the middle of the lid had gone into the soup and I had blended it in. And there were massive chunks of broken plastic that looked like glass in the soup.
Jenny.
I know.
Didn't it make a terrible noise when it was grinding it up?
Do you know what, Judith? I'm really glad you asked me that because I had to do a bit of a Miss Marple on myself when she said that. I thought, why didn't I hear it? What?
Well,
then I realised. Okay, I'll tell you why I didn't hear it. We've had an invasion of fruit flies. We've had nothing but invasions of small flying things in the past year or ants or whatever. So we've had fruit flies, and they've been a bit of a bugger to get rid of. So I've been keeping my drain absolutely pristine, which means using the incinerator all the time.
So oh, I see.
Peel
yes.
the veg, and rather than have the veg peel clogging up the sink for hours on end,
yeah.
I'd run it through with the incinerator, which grinds everything up, you know, yeah. and it makes a terrible noise.
Ooh, terrifying so, bloody things, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely. So I'd had the two things going. I'd had the blender going.
At the same time?
And the incinerator. I hadn't heard.
Oh, my goodness.
Heard, Judith, hadn't heard.
Well, that is quite a spectacular bit of bad cooking, Jenny.
Yeah, it's really, really, really bad. Really bad. And such a waste, Judith. Such a waste.
That's a nice soup.
Anyway, that was my culinary disaster of last week. And, you know, I can't be asked. I did that event with the Bake Off lot.
Is this the event where you were asking for people to send in questions to the winners?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I put one in, didn't I?
Yes. They didn't really know how to answer your question. Because like young people, they're not like us. And we ask the most obvious questions to us, which is your question is, does Paul Hollywood smell nice? And I said that. I said, my friend Judith would like to know, does Paul Hollywood smell nice? And they just looked a bit confused because it wasn't a baking question.
Oh,
and they're bakers.
They?
Yeah, yeah.
See,
yeah.
I think he must reek of aftershave. Well, you probably met. Well, you'll have met him because you did the celebrity bake up. What does he smell of? I should have asked you.
Smells very nice. Smells very nice. Most men on telly smell very nice. Very nice indeed. The other one that smells very nice, Paddy Grant from Sewing Bee.
Oh, lovely.
Nice smelling men.
We've got slightly the hots for both of them, haven't we, if we're honest, really? Well, I have. I quite like to snuggle into Paul Hollywood's. Do you know what I mean? I'd quite like to sort of snuggle into that beard.
I think a lot of people find him absolutely sort of, you know, beyond the pale. But if you were in real trouble and say something terrible was happening to you and then suddenly you heard the roar of a motorbike and Paul Hollywood pulled up in his leathers and got off his motorbike to save your life.
Getting quite worked up now. Yes, no, absolutely. So what was Peter like? Is he gorgeous? Is he such a sweet boy,
sweet,
isn't he?
Yeah, sweet, not fully formed. Very young, so young, you know. I'll tell you what, he did say a very sweet thing, Judith, but I just thought, what? He went, well, you know what it's like at university? Everyone's swapping tray bakes and loaf tin recipes. And I thought...
Really?
What the? What? No, it didn't happen in my day.
Oh my God, so doesn't happen. Is that what they do at university
they
now?
They bake, Judith. Young people bake. It's a real generational thing. We're too busy taking speed and sleeping with terrible people and feeling too awful and hungover to bake.
I know. I spent a lot of time waiting for men to snog me and make the first move, I think. At university. I think I really did. And it was, very time consuming.
I didn't go to university. I went to drama school, but I did mix with a lot of university students because I was in Manchester. So it was all sort of hugger-mugger. And I lived with people that were either at the university or art schools or whatever. But nobody was baking. Nobody was baking. We used to do sort
absolutely
of big...
Absolutely not.
There was sort of lots of pasta going on, I think.
But that's rather nice, isn't it, that things have changed that way?
Well, I mean, do you think they've changed too much?
No, I think that's lovely. I think that's really,
I think it's nice, but is it a bit too nice? And are they really, I mean, obviously this year, thank God, there is baking and things like that to sort of give people pleasure, real sort of satisfaction and that kind of thing. But I do sometimes wonder, you know, I just hope to God we get back to normality and some of these young people will get to travel again and sort of, you know, have
Jenny.
Some adventures beyond the kitchen door.
I mean, I think, you know, the 20-year-olds, I mean, his age, the guy that won, up to sort of Ellen's age, 29, I think they are missing out now so much. I mean, I know, you know, Ellen has said, oh, I'm so over it. I'm so fed up. I'm just fed up with it. I'm just really fed up with not being able to do the things I want to do.
I don't know. It is. But, you know, we have some light at the end of the tunnel. We have the vaccines. Right. It is probably time for our cultural roundup now.
Indeed.
So what is going on culturally? Judith.
Shay Holder. Well, I tell you what we've been watching kind of fairly obsessively, really, is Industry. Have you been watching this series on... Well, I think I mentioned it last week, didn't I?
Did. Judith, whatever you mentioned last week, I just copied it. I went into Judith's says. The night when I sat down for some telly time, I said, Jeff said, what are we going to watch? I said, well, Judith says.
Judith's watching.
So, okay, first of all, we finished Love Life, which
did you like
yes,
it?
Loved it.
I did too. Oh, yeah, and it's very much gang material, isn't it?
Because it's right up Gangstrasse.
Yes,
honestly, I loved so much of that series. I loved the episode with the mother. I thought was fantastic. I laughed so loudly and so often during that episode. And I never do that. I never enjoy something so much that I'm able to let myself go.
I loved it when the mother, she rang up and she said, because obviously the central character was in the middle of something, you know, some trauma. And she rings up and she says, now I'm wondering what to do with your Beanie Babies. And you just think that just said it all, didn't it? Her agenda, her life is so different to her daughter's.
It was, and it just reminded me so much of all the wrong things I say to Phoebe.
Totally.
And without ever knowing that you're just skating on very thin ice. And conversationally, we just skate on thinner and thinner ice with our daughters,
don't we?
They can't help but just go, no, just fall in the freezing lake now, bitch.
Yes, that's right. What on earth are you talking about? Yeah. No, I loved it. And I love that the episode where she goes to the boyfriend's, there's a funeral that she goes to and she gets it all wrong.
Oh, totally.
I mean,
I loved the acting as the best friend. The
drunken best friend. I know.
Yeah, Zoe Chow. Yeah, really great. Yeah, and Anna Kendrick. Well done, Anna Kendrick.
Oh, I know. It was a lovely series. Mm. And actually, I thought some of the comedy was up there in sort of Bridesmaids kind of
text. It was that so similar good. Vibe. It was a similar vibe. I mean, it didn't have quite the sort of... it wasn't as sort of toilety and sort of... It didn't go as over the top as Bridesmaids did so brilliantly. But it was a quieter version of Bridesmaids. It's a sort of domestic telly version rather than a big, splashy film version. But it had that very similar vibe going on. I totally agree. Yeah. Now, so Industry. Now, Judith, you describe what Industry is about.
So Industry is set in one of those awful kind of financial places that take on graduates. And so it's basically, it's about the city, isn't it? Yeah. And it's about the people who all turn up and they're the sort of, you know, like interns plus and they're waiting to be hired.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of dog-eat-dog, Wild West sort of, you know, situation.
It's all that. I mean, I like it. I don't know whether I love it. I find the sex scenes in it really quite raunchy.
Well, just a bit. I mean, now we're into episode 6 and actually, yeah, the sex is that, you know, there's a lot of it and, we, you know, we're right in there. We're kind of right in
there. We're close up and personal, aren't we? I had to watch that programme wearing a dirty rain mac, Judith. I do. I sit on my sofa in my dirty rain mac. I get very close.
Quite gripping. I mean, it's gripping on many levels, isn't it? The characters and the sex and, but you know, but sometimes I do just think, yeah, all right, I've got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't have to see it to the end. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we've got the wanking on the Zoom call thing. Oh, we understand that. Oh, we was going at it, wasn't it? There was a bit of me going, watch yourself. Anyway, just on the telly front, if you want something that isn't quite so sexy as Industry, Dickensian is back on iPlayer.
What's Dickensian? What's that?
I don't know that. Oh, it's so up your street. I tell you, honestly, it's the type of thing you should watch while making a Christmas wreath. All 20 episodes are up. It's a great afternoon curl up and binge. And you can also manage to persuade yourself you're educating yourself because it's Dickens. But it's kind of a Dickens...
Isn't it? That's win-win.
It's a Dickens mashup written as if Dickens was writing a soap.
Using all the
characters.
Okay.
But it's got a really good cast in it. It's Stephen Frears and it's, you know, you just watch it and everybody that you've ever known on television pops up as a face, a Dickensian face.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh, yes.
I loved it when it was on first time around and it's back on and all 20 episodes are up there. So it's a really nice Christmassy thing. And there are some big new films that have come out on Netflix. I haven't had time to watch any of them yet, but apparently the one to watch is called Mank. Have you heard of Mank?
No,
Judith?
I haven't heard of Mank. Nope.
Right, nope. Okay. Well, it stars Gary Oldman, and people are already muttering Oscar nominations for him.
What does Mank mean?
Film.
What does that mean?
Well, no, it's a stupid title, isn't it? Because it sounds like Manky.
Well, it does. Or Wank. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, I've been watching
so much industry. That's why I thought we were going with that.
We would call it Wank.
Yeah.
But it's called Mank, and it's something about, I don't know whether it's in black and white, and it's about who actually wrote Citizen Kane. So it's about Orson Welles, and it's about a bloke called Mank who'd written a lot of other films. It's
not grabbing me at the moment, Jenny.
Well, I think it's a slice of Hollywood in its heyday.
Oh, okay.
But with some underbelly. So right. It's going, you know, it's a look at how Hollywood operated back in the day.
Okay.
And you quite like a bit of Hollywood, don't you?
Yeah. I tell you what Mac and I caught the other day is a bit of high society. You know, the old Hollywood.
The classic, yeah.
I haven't even bothered to watch that, but I know my parents loved it. And there was Bing Crosby and a gorgeous Grace Kelly. Yeah. And Frank Sinatra. In fact, do you remember it? Have you seen it?
I'll tell you who would tell you exactly what high society is about. Jeff, because for a heterosexual man, he has very gay musical film taste.
Oh, does he?
He watches, he adores Grace Kelly and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, well, high society is up his street. He'll know it then.
High society,
well.
Top Hat, all those, a chorus line, all those musicals. He absolutely adores them. You know, occasionally, if I have to write an article or something like that, he will go downstairs and just, I'll catch him watching a musical.
Will he? Bit of escapism.
Yeah.
But, you know, they sang a song called True Love. I don't know whether you know it.
True love, I say to you as you do
say
to me.
To me. Yeah,
that used to be our song, Jeff and I. It used to be our
song. Oh, did it? Yeah. Well, yeah. I think Daisy should play it at the end because my parents loved that song. You know, it makes me think of the, you know, sort of love and a relationship. It's a song that celebrates in a way sort of long love, doesn't it? You know, long lasting love.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it does. It's about sort of caring for each other, and maybe that's because, you know, I'm now that much older and it's not about kind of, you know, the first flushes of love. It's beautiful. And Grace Kelly and the escapism. I think I realised how much, you know, when my mum used to say we used to go to the pictures, you know, to sort of forget what was going on, you know, during the war and everything. But, you know, those Hollywood kind of sets.
Oh, yeah. The scale of things, the lavish scale.
Oh,
and
yes.
The money and the dancing and the choreography and the absolute precision and the beauty and the, oh, it's a really magical time. And I, you know, I think what you've just said about the cinema, going to the cinema as a way of escape, I'd be really upset if Corona has done for the cinema, because all these big films, Judith, that we would normally have had to wait to see or had to pay to see in the cinema, they're going straight now to streaming channels.
I mean, I suppose they're bound to.
There is nothing quite like being in a cinema with a lot of people enjoying the same thing.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Just to finish off, we'll just round up with our books. Judith, where are you up to and what are you on?
Nearly finished the Richard Osman Thursday Murder Club, and it's turned out quite, you know, it's clever, and I have enjoyed it, although I said there was a dip, but I need the next read now. Now I need to know what to read next on Audible.
Okay. I'm really now enjoying The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which I have on Audible.
Is that the one about two black twins? One decides to
live as a white woman.
Yeah.
And they haven't seen each other for many years. And it's a sort of multi-generational thing. And it's just reached a really interesting late 60s, early 70s period. And I am really, I'm now not surprised that it's been such a massive hit in America. And then Jeff and I have started a new joint book, which is the new Jonathan Coe, which is called...
Oh, is he the man that wrote Middle England? Oh, I loved that book. I loved that book.
I'm not sure this is...
So what's his new one called?
Well, I don't think it's as strong as that. He seems to have written it very, very quickly. It's called Mr. Wilder and Me by
John
Foucault.
What's it about?
It's about, well, it starts with a woman of 57 who writes music for films, and she has twin daughters, one of whom is pregnant but awaiting a termination. The other one is about to fly off to Sydney to start a music course. And it's she starts to look back at her life as a young woman, and she's just about... I'm only on chapter two. She's about to...
It sounds... I mean, I think the brilliant thing about Middle England is it was about Brexit, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was just... It was obviously a fantastic narrative. So so this one seems a little bit more like ordinary in a way.
I will reserve judgment. I think I think it's going to be great, but I don't think it's going to be as great as Middle England.
Yeah, it was clever. It was beautiful. It was just sort of like what we needed to read, and it was so sharp, wasn't it, Middle England?
It was so prescient. It was so of its time.
Oh,
it was
prescient is the word, Jim.
It was the ultimate Brexit book without being really vile to anybody. I thought that's what was so clever about it.
Yes, which was clever. Really, really clever. Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone, for all your emails. We did have some late entries to our competition. I'm very sorry. There were some fantastic entries, weren't there, Judith? We did get some extraordinary stuff.
Impressive
we really did.
Lot. Impressive lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but we did get a very charming email from Maureen Catchpole this week. Do you want to read that?
Oh, yes. Did you? Yeah. Shall I read this one out?
You do the honours.
Okay. This one made me laugh so much. Right. So she says, Maureen Catchpole. I don't think she told us how old she is now.
Oh, Maureen, we'll guess. If you don't tell us, we'll guess.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, what do you think? Late 50s?
Yeah,
spot on. I agree. Right. She says, many moons ago, when our children were toddlers, I belonged to a mum and baby group. Every Christmas, we could get discounted cards and calendars from a well-known brand, something like Hallmark. As in your podcast this week, you see, she's listening very carefully. Okay. They did not contain chocolate, but festive pictures behind the doors. On the 24th of December, the first call came early. Had we opened the door yet? If not, make sure to do it before the tinies did. Sure enough, behind the door was a gigantic willy, fully formed. I think she might mean erect. The whole batch sold to us had it. Somebody at the factory had a bit of fun. Yeah.
It sounds like an industry. It sounds like an advent calendar from industry, the TV.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. If industry did an advent calendar, it would have a willy or a fanny or a butthole or a butt plug or something behind every single door, wouldn't it?
It would. And there'd be plenty of options for the 24 doors, I can assure you.
Absolutely.
That's hilarious, though, isn't it? That is funny. Somebody in some factory somewhere.
Just going, oh, I'm sick of this. I'm going to put a massive giant cock behind door 24. Here's Santa. Hey. Anyway, everybody, listen, one last final thing made me laugh. A couple of weeks ago, we were sent, all three of us, Daisy, myself and Judith, were sent a present from Claire Crafts Create. And Daisy is the first one to finish the felted reindeer. Has caught the crafting bug from Judith and I. Our work is done. She's a young woman. She's in her 30s. She's not very old at all. She's got young children. But she posted her felted reindeer to Judith and I with such pride. It's happened, hasn't it? We've pushed her over the edge. that's good. Listen, everybody.
She'll be buying lots of coleslaw next, won't she?
Absolutely. If you're not felting reindeers or you're making coleslaw or you're doing whatever, we hope you have a very happy week and we'll talk to you again this time next week.
Toodle pip.
Bye!
But to give to you and to give to me love.